I certainly have enjoyed, my heart certainly been ministered to by the good singing and how God has said a word to my heart tonight. I love it when it seems like, even though there's a good congregation here tonight, I love it when it seems like the Lord is just singing to me. You know, in the Word of God, you'll find two or three places in the Scripture where it talks about the songs in the night. And one place David said, I recall to my remembrance, or I call to my remembrance, my song in the night. So that tells me that God had given him a song in days gone by. And the past song was able to help him in the night now. But then another portion of the Word of God, David said, the Lord giveth a song in the night. And I looked that word giveth up, and it holds with it the connotation that the Lord doesn't just give you a piece of music, but it's that the Lord gives you the song himself. If you ever had the Holy Ghost to sing to you during the night, you've never had nobody to sing to you like he can. And I'm telling you, there's nothing greater when the Lord will sing to you in the night. Somebody said, that's never happened, preacher. Just let your night get a little darker. Let your night get just a little darker. And whenever everything else seems to be silent, there will come a sweet melody in a still small voice like you've never heard. I love Brother Doug Raines and his family and his mom and dad. I appreciate them so very much. I want us to open our Bibles tonight to the Old Testament book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Now the book of 1 Chronicles, especially the first 9 chapters, in your daily devotions, you can read these chapters in about 14 or 15 seconds. Because when you come to this list of names, you become a speed reader. And you begin in verse 1 where it says, Adam, and then you just kind of breeze on through. And one reason you do that is that you can't pronounce 75% of these names. And if I was looking for names for my children, I'd go to another list other than this one. And 9 chapters, you have one name right after the other. And I was breezing through here one day, and the Holy Ghost said, there's another list of names, and your name's in it. And you might not ought to breeze through it so much, because I may breeze through it one day and overlook yours. But he'll never do that. And I'm glad that in this, these Chronicles, it lets me know that God knows names. I'm glad he knows my name. Aren't you glad he knows your name? I'm certainly thankful that God don't have any what's his names. I'm glad that the Lord, when we stand before him one day, he's not going to have to nudge Gabriel and say, now, this is like I have to do so many times. There have been those that's come up to me last night and already tonight. Said, boy, it's good to see you, preacher. Do you remember me? And I become a professional liar. for the simple fact I do remember the face, but I can't remember the name. I'm glad God has no what's his names. Our names are important to him. We come to chapter number 4, and he's just given one name right after the other. But he comes to chapter 4 in verse number 9, and he says a word about one of these names that he has mentioned. And in all of these chapters, this is the only fella that he picked out to say something about. He could have said a whole lot about Adam. He could have said a lot about Enoch. All of those names are listed here. But he picked out one seemingly secluded individual. And he says, I want to give just a little word about this fella. And I believe the Holy Ghost put it in here not to just take up a couple of lines, but for us to get interested in who he was interested in when he gave this word. Sure. Notice, if you will, in verse 9. And Jabez. And somebody would scratch their head and say, well, now who is this? Well, if it hadn't have been for the Holy Ghost, he'd have just been another name listed. But he wanted to say something about him. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him in sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested, and then went right on naming names. I was looking at this, And somehow or another, had to be the Holy Ghost, began to run other scripture through my mind. And I began to see something here that I'd missed for so many years. But I want to preach tonight on this subject. And I know we've got three other preachers beside myself coming in. I don't know what they'll deal with. I'm sure it'll be good. I'm sure God will use them, but my heart is for those that's struggling. The Christian church that's struggling with situations. Personally, congregationally, families. My heart is toward them and always has been. I want to preach tonight on this thought, using this man. From bitterness to blessedness. From bitterness to blessedness. Now, I don't expect you to say amen much right yet, because I'm going to confuse you. But as we move on through this, I believe you'll begin to see the puzzle come together. Maybe what the Holy Ghost is wanting us to see. From bitterness to blessedness. Let's ask for his help. Father, thank you for what our hearts have already experienced tonight. Thank you for good music and singing that has ministered to us. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be under this tabernacle. Thank you, Lord, for, as Brother Doug said, the heritage and the history that is instilled in these timbers and these posts. Thank you, Lord, for grace and goodness. Lord, when I look around and I think about those that have stood right here it makes me say that the fight is worth fighting. And the work is worth finishing. And Lord, we want to do that right. And I pray now that you would help us. You know why you have assigned us to this portion of your word? I don't know, but you do. And I pray that you would give liberty to the preaching. But most of all, God, that the hearts of your people may receive help tonight. And if there is one in our midst unsaved, I pray you may bring them unto the acknowledgement of yourself by the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. And for whatever is accomplished tonight, you will get all the glory for it. For it's in Jesus' wonderful and precious name we pray. Amen. Now, as we begin to look at this tonight, I want to say to you that the Bible is filled with people. Did you know from the very beginning when God made Adam all the way through, this book is a book about people. People that basically was no different than you and I. Have they the same, the people, in other words, Adam, the first man's God is my God. And Abraham's God is my God. And Isaac's God is my God. And Daniel's God is my God. Somebody said, boy, it would have been good to have lived in Bible days. Can I say to you, there's as much written in the Bible about our day than there is any other day. I'm glad even though we're not Bible characters, we're still a Bible people. Amen. And I'm glad that God knows who we are. Just like God knew all of these in the Word of God, He knows us. Isn't that a blessing? We not only find that it's a book about people, but I find that the Bible is a book about people that had problems. There's no one recorded in the Bible that didn't have problems. There's only one individual that lived without sin, but there's none that lived without suffering. I'm telling you, friend, the Bible is a book about people that have problems. But thanks God for the people with problems. There's a principle. I'm glad there's a God in heaven that knows where they were and He knows where we are. Aren't you glad for that? Now here's what I believe. Whatever you may be facing, you can start traveling down the highway of holiness in the Word of God. You can start making your way through the Scripture. And somewhere, you're going to find someone that's facing the same difficulties you are. And I'm glad you can pull over on the highway of holiness and see how God worked for them. And the same God that worked for them is the same God that works for us. He's the same God that's in charge. I say hallelujah for the great privilege of being able to tell that and know it to be the truth. Now, Jabez had a problem. Well, what was his problem, preacher? Well, it was his name. You say, why? Because the word Jabez means mama's sorrow. In other words, it's about like being named the boy named Sue. And you gray heads will understand what I'm talking about. But Jabez's name was his problem. Now listen very carefully. And this problem created in Jabez a phobia. And it was making somebody out of him that he didn't like. In other words, here is the way it would operate probably. They could be some folks, say, to some teenagers, and maybe Jabez would be in the mix, And they'd say, "What's your name?" They'd say, "Tommy," or "Jack," or "Billy," or "Adam." They'd come to Jabez, and they'd say, "Son, what's your name?" And he would say, "My name's Jabez. You want to do something about it?" For the simple fact that, listen carefully, the simple fact is that his problem was creating somebody out of him that he didn't like. And if he doesn't get help from God for that problem, he'll never be what God wants him to be. Can I say to you, friend, God made you the way you are, but there's situations and problems that come into our lives, and my friend, they begin to make somebody out of us that we don't even like. I want to say to you, friend, there's a God in heaven who knows about those problems, and there's a God who's able to do something about them. Well, I feel I'm on target again. That's unusual 2 times in a row. But I want you to notice here, first of all, the pressures of a problem. Now, Jabez's problem was his name. His name let everybody know that his mama didn't appreciate him. His name let everybody know that family didn't care that much for him. His name let everybody know that he was a disappointment and a discouragement and a heartache and a heartbreak. I'll tell you, I fit that bill one time. Oh, but I come in contact with somebody that's able to change you. No, I see here the pressures of a problem. It was daily pressures. He couldn't get away from it, Brother Homer. He could not get away from it. Now, think about this with me. This problem that Jabez has is backing him in a corner. It's binding him. No matter where he goes, he can't be himself because everybody knows he's a problem. And it's got him backed in a corner. And he's tired of being secluded in this little old area. And he says, there's something got to be done. There's something got to be done about this problem. Let me ask you a question. You have a situation in your life. Maybe it's hidden. Maybe nobody knows anything about it. Maybe it's down in the recesses. And it only comes alive when you're by yourself. It only surfaces as long as you're around everybody else. It seems like it stays suppressed. But when you get by yourself, it comes up. It comes alive. And you hate it. You hate who you are. You can't stand yourself when you're by yourself. Amen. It's a daily problem. It's a problem that puts pressure on you day by day. And that problem is keeping you from enjoying the fullness of God. This is going to be deep running tonight. I done sense it. But oh, if somebody can get loose from that. There's no telling who's under this pavilion tonight. There's no telling who's seated in here. And if we had a screen that we could broadcast our secret life, we'd all be ashamed. But I'm telling you, friend, I'm glad there's a God that knows my daily pressures. He knows your daily pressures. He knows everything about you. It was a daily pressure. And it was a determining pressure. In other words, let me say it again. This problem was making somebody out of Jabez. Now, he wasn't birthed with this, but it was given to him at birth. In other words, it wasn't an unborn defect. It was a problem that came after he was born. And he didn't adopt it himself. It was given to him by somebody else. And he's got it. And he can't shake it. And he's backed in a corner. And he's tired of being bound with this problem. And he said, what in the world am I going to do? What am I going to do? I'm a preaching to somebody tonight. As sure as I'm here. Can I say to you tonight, they ain't none of us in here super saints. I can look back over the congregation. I see no wings or halos. I'm just simply saying we all deal with them. We've got situations. And I would never tell you mine, and you'd never tell me yours. But God knows about it. Are you listening? Now, I see here, unless God does something for Jabez, he's going to die full of bitterness. Did you know that bitterness is one of the worst things that you can adopt into your soul? Bitterness will destroy you. You know, when the Lord Jesus was talking about forgiving others there in Luke 17, Jesus said, and they said, Lord, if we're going to have to forgive that many times, Peter said, do we need to forgive seven times a day? And Jesus said, seven times 70. In other words, that's 490 times. And if you start forgiving that many times, you'll get used to it. And he said, no, seven times 70. And Simon Peter said, and the disciples said, Lord, if we're going to have to start operating like that, you're going to have to do something to our faith. You know what Jesus said? And I've heard message after message on how God increased their faith. He didn't increase their faith. He said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, that ain't much. They ain't much difference in a grain of mustard seed and a speck of dust from looking at it. The only thing, that little bitty grain and that little bit of dust, there's a big difference. The little grain's got life in it. Somebody said, boy, I believe I could do better if I could muster up enough faith to get rid of it. And God, the Lord said, you don't need no more faith. Just put to practice what you've got. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, he said you could say to this sycamine tree. Now, most commentators I read after says that's a misprint. That it's supposed to be sycamore. Oh, no. The Lord knew the difference between a sycamore and a sycamine. Somebody said they ain't no difference. Google it. Somebody said, preacher, you Google. I'm just learning. You know what that sycamine tree was used for? You know what the number one product that sycamine wood produced? It produced the wood for building caskets. That was the number one wood they used in that day to build caskets, was the sycamine tree. Yes, sir. You say, he said, if you don't get rid of that sycamine tree and get it into the sea, yes, it's going to eat you alive and it'll kill you. You know how the sycamine tree is pollinated? By wasp sting. The only tree in the world that's pollinated by wasp sting is a sycamine tree. The Lord knew what he was saying. And they say that the sycamine fig looks just like a regular fig. But they said there's only one difference. It's a sour that if you ever eat one, you can only nibble on it a little at a time. Ain't that the way we do bitterness?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Do we not just nibble on it a little at a time? Just enough to keep us sour. Now, this ain't part of the message. Well, it is tonight. But and why the Lord's brought us here, I don't know. But I can say to you, that little bit of bitterness that you've climbed up in your sycamine tree and you're nibbling on it just a little bit at a time, it's going to be the death of you. And you know what you want to do? Lord, help me now. I don't mean to get plumb personal. But you know what you want to do? You want somebody else to climb up in the tree with you. And you want to sit on one limb and you want them to sit on the other. And you want to take a bite and then you want them to take a bite. And before you know it, two of you has got the same thing on the inside. Can I say to you, friend, if you're not careful, bitterness will spread everywhere and it'll destroy everything about you. Now, Jabez, his problem has got him up a sycamine tree. It's filled him with bitterness. Well, I want to say, we see the pressures of a problem. Then I'm going to look secondly at the prescription that's provided. I believe his problem drove him to his Bible. I told you a while ago, if you got a problem, if it'll drive you to your Bible, it may turn bitterness into blessings. And I believe it drove him to his Bible. All Jabez had was the books of Moses, first five books of the Bible, and he may have had a handful of Psalms. That's all he had. But he had enough that God could show him himself in the Bible. You can read from Genesis through the end of Deuteronomy, and you'll find a lot of people with a lot of problems. And you can probably find yourself somewhere in those five books. But you can see God in there too. I'm glad I'm getting to slow down a little tonight. That's good for an old man. But notice, I believe it drove him to his Bible. He got to looking over and he got to reading about the creation. He got to reading about Abraham and Isaac. He gets to reading about how God was working in their lives. And then he comes across Isaac, one of Isaac's boys. His name's Jacob. And he reads about Jacob marrying and how he ended up with two wives. And that's enough to drive anybody nuts. That is right. Now they've been down in Laban's country. And he comes to Genesis 35. You might want to turn over there. He's reading through here and he comes to Genesis 35. And then he's reading down through here and he comes across verse number 16. And they journeyed from Bethel. And there was a little way to come to Ephrathah. And Rachel travailed. And she had hard labor. And it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said unto her, "Fear not, thou shalt have this son also." And it came to pass as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni. Look over in the margin of your Bible. What does Benoni mean? Son of sorrow. All of a sudden, Jabez says, I found me. I read through the Bible and I found me. I found somebody that's got the same problem I've got. You see, Benoni is the Hebrew name for Mama Sorrow. Jabez is an Arabic name for Mama Sorrow. He said, I found me in the Bible. I'm telling you, if you'll start going through the pages of the Word of God, you'll bump into yourself somewhere. I know where I'm going, and that's why I can't hardly contain myself here. And all of a sudden his interest perks. And he said, I wonder what happened to Benoni. And he reads on. Verse 18, the latter phrase, but his father called him Benjamin. Somebody said, preacher, I don't know where you're headed. I told you I'd get you confused. Just watch this. Rachel is the one that gave birth to Benoni. She called him that. Rachel was Jacob's love of his life.
Yes, sir.
If you study through the pages of the Word of God, you will find that Rachel had Jacob wrapped around her little finger. He didn't care too much about Leah. Leah simply means tender-eyed. And she was forced on him because of the law. And the law will force the first birth on you if you ain't careful. And I don't have time to deal with that. But the law will make you marry the first birth again if you're not careful. But we've been born again. And there's two of us now. In reality, there's a Leah and there's a Rachel. Or there's an Esau and there's a Jacob. Or there's a Cain and there's an Abel. Or there's an Ishmael or there's an Isaac. There's pictures of it all through the Bible. I'm still me, but there's two of me. Now, Rachel, when she's dying. Now, why in the world would Jacob deny the last request of his beloved wife? We normally do everything we can to fulfill the last desire of the one we love the most. I know people that sold about everything they've had to fulfill the last request of a loved one. Man, Jacob loved Rachel.
Yes, sir.
But why in the world would Jacob not give his wife that desire? Now, I don't know if Jacob was in there when Benoni was born. I know there was a handmaid in there. It could be that Jacob was there. But I do know the handmaid was there. And she says to Jacob, she says, Mr. Jacob, she's named this boy. And she wants him called Benoni because he's caused her sorrow. Now don't forget, Jabez reading all this. And he's looking at it. And he says, boy, I wish I'd had a daddy like Jacob that had to rename me. Oh, but he don't need a daddy like Jacob. He needs a heavenly father like Jacob. Because a heavenly father like Jacob can change your name. Watch it. She said, that handmaid come to Jacob. She says, Mr. Jacob, she wants to call him Benoni. And Jacob said, uh-uh. See, if it hadn't been for the Holy Ghost that wrote the Bible, we would have never known that his first name was Benoni. Because the handmaid never said nothing about it, and Jacob never said nothing about it. The Holy Ghost, only one knew it, and Rachel's the one that named him, and she died. But the Holy Ghost ain't dead. So he pinned it in the Word of God to let us know that God is in charge of this book. And Jacob said, don't change. Don't you call him Benoni. Don't tell anybody what she named him. Let me name him. I want to name him Benjamin. I don't want him to have to live his life with a name that he called in Mama Sorrow. I want him to live his life as he's the son of his father's right hand. Power with God. I want to name him that. Now, why would Jacob do that? Because Jacob has had to live with a name. He knew what his name caused him. He knew the problems his name had caused him. And he said, I'm not going to name him a name that's going to keep him in trouble the rest of his life. So call him Benjamin. See, Jacob has lived with a name that's caused him problems his whole life. You know what his name means? Trickster. You know what his name means? Don't do business with me. I will come out on the better end of the deal. His name means, if you want to survive, don't hook up with me. And his name, he's lived with that name. And Jacob gave him that name. Jabez says, now don't forget I'm preaching about Jabez. Jabez says, man, when I was reading through here, I found back over here a chapter or two ago where God did something for Jacob. See, ain't it good when your problem drives you to your Bible?
Amen.
And he goes back over here to chapter number 32. And tomorrow, listen to me. Tomorrow, Jacob has got to face the biggest problem of his life. Tomorrow, he's got to come face to face with his brother who told him he's going to kill him the next time he saw him. Now, all of Jacob's life, he's been able to connive and weasel around and jump through loopholes and come out on top. But now, God's brought him to a place that he can't get out of. And every child of God, God's going to bring you to a place that you can't trick your way. You can't connive your way. You can't beat your way out of. You're going to have help from another world. So Jacob's left alone that night. And all of a sudden, there's a man begins to wrestle with him. We come to find out that's a Christophanes. That's a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus. Now, why did the Lord Jesus choose a wrestling match? Why didn't he choose a bow shot or a spear throwing or a sword fight? Why did he choose a wrestling match? Because I believe Jacob's a professional wrestler. Because with a name like Jacob, you better be able to take care of yourself. If you're going to beat everybody in the country, you better learn some kind of art and some kind of trade if you're not going to depend on the Lord and you're going to try to do it yourself. I'm a plowing somebody's cornfield tonight. And that's an old Tennessee term for getting close to the row. But I'm just simply saying, here, Jacob's been able to do that. He started out doing it when he in the womb. He kept doing it. He beat his brother out of his birthright. He beat his brother out of his blessing. He's connived Laban. He's done everything. And he feels like that he's going to make it real good. Operating in the flesh. But now, there's one from another world that knows all about it. And Jacob's left alone, and all of a sudden somebody tackles him. Jacob's a good wrestler because he struggled and he fought and he wrestled and he did it until the break of day. Now, if you're going to wrestle with the Lord, you better be good if you're going to do it for 10 hours. From sunset to sunup, he's a wrestling. You ever had that to go on in you? If you hadn't, I wonder where you're really at with God. But until God breaks you in the area of what you've been able to do in the flesh, you won't never be able to do much for the Lord in the spiritual realm. Oh, God, boy. Listen. So he's wrestling. Now, I'm still preaching on Jabez. He's wrestling with the angel of the Lord. Look here. Bible said in verse number 24, and Jacob was left alone in Genesis 32. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him. That ain't when Jacob saw that he couldn't prevail against the Lord. It's when the Lord saw that he couldn't prevail against Jacob. Somebody said, are you telling me the Lord couldn't whip Jacob? Oh, yeah, he could. But you see, in a wrestling match, you got to be pinned. And that's got to be flat of your back. And the Lord didn't want to pin Jacob. He wanted to touch him. The Lord didn't want to knock Jacob down flat of his back and get on top of him for the three count. God didn't want the reason he put up with Jacob a wrestling. Is he didn't want to pin Jacob and put him flat of his back. He wanted to touch him. He don't want to knock you down, sir. And you're saved. You're saved. You belong to God. But you've never give up this old ability to do it in the flesh. You're still operating in the flesh. You're still trying to do it in the flesh. You're still trying to struggle and come out on top and hoping it works out all right in the flesh. And God's been a wrestling with you for a while. He don't want to pin you flat on your back. He don't want to pin you, sir. He don't want to pin you, ma'am. He wants to touch you. I know what I'm preaching about because I've been right here. See, Lord, help me now. I don't want to preach all night. I can't. I'd love to. But I'm just simply saying, God's blessed somebody with unusual talents and unusual abilities, and it's a gift from Him. We didn't see none of that performance tonight. That was all Holy Ghost. But God's blessed others. He's blessed them with wonderful appearances. He's blessed them with a good mental ability. He's blessed them with a good ability to reach out to others. But they never learned that it's God that's done it. And they think, boy, look what I'm doing. Look what I'm doing. And God will wrestle with you for a while. And he don't want to pin you. He don't want to knock you flat of your back. He don't want to put you down somewhere. He wants to touch you. Y'all still with me?
Amen.
We're headed somewhere.
Amen.
Boy, God's here as sure as we are.
Amen.
Jabez reading all this. And verse 25, when the Lord saw that he couldn't prevail against Jacob, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. He wrestling with the Lord, and now the Lord didn't pin him. The Lord touched him. And when he did, he touched him in the most strategic place for a wrestler. Y'all remember, anybody here remember Gorgeous George, the wrestler? You gray head, don't make me the only fool in here tonight. Raise your hand. His name was George Matheson. He got saved right before he died a few years. I preached with him down in Low Country, South Carolina. He is a Baptist preacher. He got saved. He and I were sharing the same motel. He preached, I'd preach. And I asked him. I didn't call him Gorgeous George. I said, Brother Matheson. Because he was real, it wasn't white hair then, it was gray, and his arms were still that big. And I said, you've been a wrestler for all of these years. Have you ever had any bones broke? He said, oh my goodness, Brother Davis. He said, I've had bones broke. I've even had my back broke. I said, have you ever had your thigh messed up? He said, no. I said, if you ever lost strength in your thigh, can you ever get that back? He said, if a wrestler ever gets his thigh broke, he's done. He's done. So you know what God did to Jacob? He touched him to where he was done.
Woo!
He touched him and crippled him in the area of his fleshly strength. And tomorrow he's got to face the biggest problem of his life. And now he's crippled. By God. Crippled. By God. Crippled. By God. Wounded. By God. Hurt by God. Lost his ability by God. Y'all with me? Now, here he is. And the Bible said, verse 26, the angel of the Lord said to Jacob, let me go, for the day breaketh. Now, it ain't the angel of the Lord hanging on to Jacob. It's Jacob now hanging on the Lord. He ain't wrestling no more. He's a-clinging. He's done wrestling. He ain't a-fighting no more. He's just a-hanging on. Woo! Oh, he ain't fighting. He's lost that ability. He ain't wrestling no more. He's a clinging for everything he's got. He's a hanging on. And he said, Lord, he said there in verse 27 or verse 26, he said, let me go. And he said, I'll not let you go except you bless me. He said, Lord, you're going to have to bless me now. You've crippled me. Now you got to bless me. I'm facing a big challenge tomorrow. Lord, if you don't bless me, I'm done for. And God crippled him so he could bless him. God couldn't bless him as Jacob, but he could change his name and bless him. And I love this. Now, Jabez reading this. And verse number 27, he said unto him, the angel of the Lord said unto him, what's your name? He said, Jacob, trickster, surplanter. What's your name? Trickster, surplanter. And the Lord said, Jacob, can't bless you as a trickster. Can't bless you as a surplanter. I can't bless you in your flesh. I can't bless you in your fleshly ability. You want me to bless you? What you want me to do, Jacob, is you want me to heal your thigh. But I ain't going to. I'm not going to. I'm not going to bless you as Jacob. But he said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to change your name to Israel. And then I can bless you. Now, Jacob, you're Israel. Now I can bless you. You're not the Jacob now from the first birth. You're from the second that I've named you. And now I've called you by this name. All right. I'm about done. Won't take me just a moment to finish. Took me a long time to get here, but won't take me just a moment to finish. Now look at this. Go back to our text. 1 Chronicles 4. Look at it. Verse 10. We not only see the pressure of a problem, the prescription that's provided, but the petition of a prayer. Look at it. Verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of... Jabez didn't call on the God of Abraham. He didn't call on the God of Isaac. He didn't even call on the God of Jacob. He called on the God that can change and bless you. He called on the God of Israel. And he said, Jabez said, oh God, if you do that for him, I've got that same problem. I've got a problem with my name. Can you do something for me? And he did. Well, if you're having half as much fun as I am, you're having a time. But he said here, now watch. He called on the God of Israel saying, oh, that thou wouldest what? That thou wouldest bless me indeed.
Yes, sir.
What did Jacob say when God turned his name to Israel? Lord, you're going to have to bless me. Now Jabez says, Lord, he calls on the God of Israel and said, oh God, oh God, would you bless me indeed? Said if you did it for him, you can do it for me. Oh dear sir, dear ma'am, if God's done it for others, he can do it for you. You got to get sick of yourself. You got to get tired of yourself. You got to realize it ain't you that's doing it. I'm fed up to hear with personality meetings. I'm sick of folks saying, if I don't do it, it won't get done. I want to tell you this, God ain't in none of that. I tell you who I am and what I am, just so you'll know. I'm scheduled to preach, but I'll sit right there. If God wants to channel through a little youngin, God wants to channel through somebody else, it don't make no difference to me. All I'm interested in is Brother Steve praying, Lord, we want to see you. We need to see you. And as long as we're seeing everybody else, we'll never see him. But oh, if we could get rid of us. Oh, if we could only get rid of us. We got too many Jacobs performing when we need some Israels. I know it's quiet, I can hear. But listen to me. It's a running all across the country. And it's a getting real close to home. We're going to have to realize who it is if there's anything going to be done. Who it is that's going to have to get the glory. And if God don't get the glory, it ain't God that does it. Please hear me. It's got to be God. It's got to be God. Oh, he's got to be God. If we don't see him, if we don't, and you know what's so sad? We're so used to this showmanship and this scholarship that we don't know the Spirit anymore. Oh, I want to tell you, there's one thing that the Holy Ghost can do that showmanship can't do and the scholarship can't do. One thing the Holy Ghost can't do, it can break you down and help God to do something in your soul. We've got to have that.
Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir.
Oh, my heart's full tonight. Young man, you got a heart's throb for God. What time is it? I ain't got a watch. You got a heart throb for God. You got a real desire for God. See, all of my ministry, and I ain't nothing from nowhere, and it don't matter. It don't matter about me, but I ain't hooked up with no camp nowhere. Somebody said, preacher, we ain't never heard of you. Good. I ain't hooked up with nobody nowhere. But oh, there's one I want to be hooked up with. It don't have to be some camp or somebody else that opens the doors. If God can do it, if God can do it, that's what we need. That's what we got to have. Young man, there's going to be pressure put on you to hook up with the Joy Boys. There's going to be pressure put on you to hook up with those that's in the limelight. It's going to be real pressure put on you. But if you'll get to examine it and examine it real close, you'll find out it's still Jacob uncrippled. I didn't mean to preach like this. I should have been done. But I'm telling you, God's saying something. I know I'll make enemies tonight, but I'm 65 and I've made a bunch of them. It don't matter no more. I'm closer home now than, and it don't matter no more. Oh, I'm telling you, some of us is going to pass off of the scene. We're getting old and wore out. And I know we ain't nothing. We ain't nothing. But I can tell you this. If you'll let God break you down and realize that you ain't nothing and God do something for you, you can make a difference in this country. we need the Holy Ghost. Got to have the Holy Ghost. It's got to be the real Holy Ghost.
Oh, yeah, God.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
Let me say a word here. Please come back tomorrow, and I don't want to preach this long. Discernment. And I thought about this. The Lord gave me this. Real discernment, real Holy Ghost discernment, is not knowing what's right from wrong. My daddy had a discerner growing out in the backyard. Before I was ever saved, he taught me what was right from wrong. You know what a discerner is? It's a big old peach tree with limbs on it. And I discern some things. Dad taught me the difference between right and wrong. But you know what real discernment is in the spiritual realm? Listen, and it's just where we're missing it. Real discernment is knowing what's right from what's almost right. Real discernment is knowing what's right from what's nearly right. And what's almost right is completely wrong. And it's the most dangerous wrong. Oh, God, help me. But Jabez called on the God of Israel. And I'm done. I'm wore out. You're wore out. But I'm telling you, God's saying something here tonight. He said, Lord, bless me. He said, make me a blessed man. Make me a bigger man. Enlarge my coast. Make me a broken man. He said, Lord, that thy hand may be with me. He said, Lord, take your hand and do for me what you did for Jacob. That your hand would be with me. And he said, Lord, I want to be a better man. He said that I don't want the evil to grieve me no more. He didn't say, Lord, I don't want to be evil so it won't grieve you. I know that's right, but he said, I won't get rid of this evil so it won't grieve me no more. And the Lord granted his request.
Yes.
Just back up to chapter 2 and I'm done, verse 55. And the families of the scribes which dwelt at Jabez. See, the chronicles are not chronologically in order. You know that. Somebody said, did God bless Jabez? Did he enlarge his coast? Became the scribes was those that interpreted and penned down the word of God. And they said, in the country that we've settled, we need to call our little community something. Some of them said, boy, I tell you, I think we ought to call it Adam. No, let's don't call it Adam. Let's call it Abram. No, let's don't call it Abram. One of them said, I tell you what, let's call it Jabez. God blessed him.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Young man, young lady, pastor, preacher, let's get to where God's doing it again.
Yes, sir. Oh, help us, oh, man. Help us, oh, man.
I'm trying to close. We need God. It's not my ideas, my philosophy. It's not what I think. It's God. It's God. Let's stand. I'm done. help us.
Right there it is. Right there it is. You can pray the prayer of Jabez tonight. You don't have to leave in bitterness. You can leave in blessedness. He did it for Jacob. He did it for Jabez. He can do it for you. Appreciate the man of God pouring his heart out tonight. What God birthed in 1982 in that back corner has been delivered tonight in a special way. He knows your situation. He knows your bitterness tonight. Won't you throw that bitterness away? Ask God to take it away. Ask God to take the sting out and add to your life. You mind the Lord tonight. Sing, Brother Jim.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me.
Amen.
After thy will. Have thine own way,
oh, listen tonight.
Lord. Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow.